This is David Getoff, and I'm making this tape available because of its importance. The two scientists presenting, who will be introduced by the both the taping company and by the Master of Ceremonies, this was at the National Conference of Vaccines, and it's very appropriate information for anybody considering the use of vaccines. There's a lot more information than just this tape. I recommend The Sanctity of Human Blood, Vaccination is Not Immunization by Tim O'Shea. I recommend the DVD videos, Vaccines, Risks, Benefits, Choices, and Vaccines, What the CDC Documents and Science Reveals by Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. They can all be found on the web. The book is available from the Price-Pottinger Foundation. There's a lot of information out there that shows that what we are being told about vaccines is not in fact true and has not been researched. These two presenters go over just how much of what we are being told is incorrect, as well as all sorts of things that are purposely, for whatever reason, not being researched, having to do with giving vaccines to people, children, the armed forces, without ever researching how the vaccine will interact with other toxins that are also either in the vaccine or in the body due to other exposures, one of which the second presenter goes over being the amount of pesticides, herbicides, fungicides that may be in the body due to other exposures. And that's very appropriate for the state of California, where I am located, because California, due to our climate, is one of the large agricultural centers in the United States, and therefore the amount of pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, which we are being exposed to because it's simply always in our air, even if the closest growing area is many miles from you, is much higher than it would be in other parts of the United States. In addition to which, we have sprayed many times malathion and other chemicals for things like the Mexican fruit fly, medfly. And if you take a look at the EWG, which is the Environmental Working Group, EWG.org website, and look at their body burden study, you will get an idea of just how many of these chemicals are in everybody's body, simply because they go in there, they stay in there, and they lock in there. And so it might be even more important for people in the state of California to have these studies, which have not been done, which they talk about never having been done, to see just how much taking a vaccine, which I don't believe in anyway, is interacting with the levels of pesticides, herbicides, and every other chemical in the body, really, really needs to be looked at. So without further ado, I will let the tape basically talk for itself. And I would like to thank Bruno, the owner of Audiotapes. Is it audiotapes.com? I know his website, I believe, is audiotapes.com, where you can get the other tapes in the entire series from the three different conferences on vaccination, the NVIC conferences, from which this is simply one tape from 1 year. So listen, enjoy. I'm sure some you will not understand. Be patient. You will understand a lot. And the speakers are easy to understand and fun to listen to.
Welcome to this program recorded at the 1997 First International Public Conference on Vaccination, held September 13th through the 15th in Alexandria, Virginia. Any unauthorized use of the contents of this tape without the written consent of the authors is strictly prohibited. Our topics: viral vaccines and chromosome damage. Our presenter, Dr. Howard Ernovitz, followed by vaccine administration combines with other hazardous exposures. Our presenter, James Tuitt III. This is tape number 5.
We're going to start the afternoon session, and we're a half hour off schedule, so everything is going to be moved up a half hour, and we'll be adjourning of about 5 o'clock this afternoon if we hold on the schedule. Our first speaker today is Howard Ernovitz. This afternoon is Howard Ernovitz. He is founder and science director of the Chronic Illness Research Foundation and founder and chief scientific officer of Calliptea Biomedical Corporation. Dr. Ernovitz will speak on viral vaccines and chromosome damage. Dr. Ernovitz received a PhD in microbiology from the University of Michigan Medical School. A research scientist, he was the first to successfully immunize animals to a rare leukemia and to develop an FDA-licensed 10-minute blood test and a urine test for HIV-1 antibodies. He is an expert in cancer, HIV, and Gulf War syndrome. Dr. Ernovitz.
Thank you. It really is an honor to be here, and I think I'd like to take a moment of my time to thank Barbara Fisher, Kathy Williams, and NVIC for already a great program. It's fair to say that any scientist stands up here can pretty much see their career destroyed. I've already been blessed with such an honor, so that's why I'm here. And I have a seriously bad attitude, which I'm going to share with you, but I'm going to try and do this as science. So let's try and stick to science. I don't make policy. I just make observations. Sometimes they're humorous. If I can have the next slide, please. I am a little peeved at Barbara because, oh yeah, there's a button here that says, don't absolutely under no conditions push this button. I knew nothing would happen. Barbara neglected to mention one country where I come from, the People's Republic of Berkeley. And we see things a lot differently than the rest. And I come out here to the East Coast just as a way to reacquaint what's going on here and then go back again. This is done through the Chronic Illness Research Foundation. We've done this all. I have to read my conflict of interest statement now, as all required by all doctors. Nothing presented here today was supported by the U.S. government. So there. Okay. This is a slide called It's a Jungle in There, and I lifted this from Omni Magazine because it really does a nice job of portraying what we're up against. It's complicated. This is the immune system is depicted by big eaters called the macrophage, the T cell, and way up here is the B cell, which is making these little Y things called antibodies. And this terribly, terribly exciting, complicated, the beauty of the system is it's so complicated, it's simple. And the speakers who you've seen on Leno before, like Dr. Phillips and Letterman, mostly Herman Letterman, have done a nice job talking about the immune system, so I'm not going to beat this to death. Just say that this is an entirely, entirely complicated system. And for those of you who are not from Louisiana and believe in evolution, this has been a very important system that has taken millions of years to evolve. And we're sad that it takes 40 years to disinvolve. So let's take a look at some of the things we're doing. What concerns me in general is chronic illnesses, and vaccine damage and vaccine-associated damage is part of what we look at, because we're taking a different approach. We're studying all the chronic illnesses together and asking what is the similarities, and then try and take an approach and see if we can't make some health inroads that way. The thing that concerns us is that chronic sickness epidemic in America, that 100 million Americans have a chronic illness. That's a lot of Americans. They have everything from arthritis, diabetes, asthma, heart disease, mental retardation, and cancer. Let's add Gulf War syndrome, AIDS, vaccine damage, et cetera, et cetera. This was just kind of a swath. But the bottom line is this is costing us in direct costs $425 billion. So let's just assume you don't care about human beings. This is a big money problem. So there's a reason Wall Street should be interested. You know, don't worry about the people. All right, so those of us who do worry about people, we're also noticing that there is a high association with occupation occurrence, especially with neurodegenerative diseases. Look here in this paper where they notice that Parkinson's disease, presenile dementia, which is a big problem here in the political circles of Washington, Alzheimer's disease and motor neuron diseases are expected to double in the next 40 years, and this is an alarming rate. So what's happening? Why are we all falling apart? It, you know, it just can't be the Oprah Winfrey show. There's got to be a reason that this is going. So the clues to my mind are threefold, and this is where we're looking, coming from the idea of what viruses do, is first the post-polio syndrome. Now, this is a syndrome where individuals got polio before the introduction of the vaccine. Just to clarify things, vaccine comes from the word cow. Vaccinia means cow, and that's where Jenner got this whole thing. And to my mind, vaccination is you stick anything in anybody's body. You call it immunizations, sugarcoat. It's still vaccines. Post-polio syndrome, this is before the vaccines were introduced. People got polio a lot at the turn of the century. There was no polio epidemics before 1900. It was the rise of industrialization that brought it on. And these people had polio. Then they beat the odds, went on to live a normal life, and then 30, 40 years later come down with these very strange, bizarre diseases that look in a little bit like all four syndrome, the various different types of things. And I'm going to tell you why that's a clue. Then we did a myeloma study, which is a rare cancer we did with Dr. Dury down in L.A., and then Gulfport syndrome, which is a particular project that we were working on with Jim Toot, who will be speaking after me. Just one paper. I'm not going to take you through the litany, but first of all, before we start, can anybody answer this question? It's important. How many public health doctors does it take to screw in a light bulb? Does anybody know? It takes none, because they denied that the light bulb exists. And there's no medical literature on the existence of light bulbs. Anybody here from the Public Health Service? Could you raise your hand? CIA? Okay, well, we'll have a different discussion then. This is evidence for the presence of poliovirus genome sequences in the cerebral spinal fluid with patients with post-polio. This very elegant study coming out of France showed that this finding suggests that persistent viral infection in the central nervous system related to the presence of poliovirus genes as much as 60 years later. And I think one of the speakers before me addressed persistent infection. They can actually pull poliovirus sequences out of individuals with polio. I think they're looking for the whole virus. If you look for fragments of it, you'll find it in a higher number of people. So that's a clue, and one of the clues it led us to was some of the elegant work that's been highlighted in Delacus' book on post-polio syndrome, is the fact that this is your brain, or I hope this is not your brain, this is a diagram of your brain, and in these various different areas control various motor neuron functions, cognitive functions, and the like. And what you see here is a preponderance of people with post-polio syndrome have these lymphocytes, white blood cells, attacking the area where poliovirus would attack decades later. So this is a clue. These type of cells and what they're looking for gives you a clue that these vaccines don't go away. You know, everybody wants them. You know, you get the vaccine, it has sugar with it, and you go home and you lead a normal, healthy life. Well, that's not really the real world. So this was a clue that there's some kind of archiving going on in the of these live viruses. That leads us to our second study, where we did this with Dr. Dury down in L.A., a very fine doctor, and we collected serum and plasma on a number of individuals. And myeloma, we know, is a disease that has a presumptive viral origin, but it's also very heavily associated with things like toxic chemicals. People who are exposed to toxins have a higher incidence of myeloma. It's a bone marrow cancer. We looked at randomly selected myeloma patients. 31 had an active disease, and 32 had myeloma, but it was not active, because this is something that waxes and wanes. We extracted the RNA from their serum, and we then used this technique that I think Dr. Phillips talked about called polymerase chain reaction. And the bottom line is we saw a very interesting phenomenon, is people with active disease, this big green bar here, actually 29 out of 32, these people with active disease, had this very strange band, nucleic acid in their blood. You're not supposed to have nucleic acids in your blood. And people with myeloma but were not active at the time of the study, only 2 out of 31 showed this. So this statistically valid study, by the way, 152 healthy individuals were looked at, and we didn't find the band in anybody. So somehow this band is associated with active cancer, active myeloma. So then we said, all right, well, look, we know how to pull these things out and sequence them, so let's do that. So we picked four, randomly just picked four individuals, did them on different days because of there is artifacts involved with some of these studies. We cloned them, and we got back the results. And what we found out is in each and every case of these four individuals, they had the exact same sequence. And this yellow area here is a transposon, which is part of the endogenous retrovirus.